And I see and I hear voices from the past. Dave Schwab has grandkids. I remember when his kids were little kids. I'm probably going to miss somebody, but I look at different people. Don and Sandy. He's been in the hospital quite a bit, and I've been able to visit him there, but I had an opportunity, it's been probably a year ago, to see one of their daughters in the hospital, who I haven't seen for years. Who else can I pick on? Hap and Jan. Their kids are all grown. I have no contact. I have no idea. My kids are not kids anymore. They've grown up. They have kids. I have great-grandkids. But I do want to express my joy and appreciation for the opportunity to be here with you today. It has been a thrill. It has been taxing. I have a bad habit. I'm sorry, I must confess. I have a bad habit of trying to overdo myself. I can still do what I did 50 years ago. It just takes an awful lot longer and it takes a bigger toll. But God is good, and I praise the Lord for the opportunity to be here with you today. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. That's where we started. That's where we want to end up, in our footprints of faith in the sands of time. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, this church here today, missionary endeavors around the world, I think there are, about four churches in Wenatchee that are evidence of the footprints of faith in the sands of time in the past. Over 100 years ago, a group of believers gathered together, started a church. That church fostered other churches, missionaries, and who knows the number. But God is good. God is amazing in what he does for us. One thing I should do, I missed last Sunday, I'm sorry. You have an outline in your bulletin, which is for last Sunday, and I'll try and touch on it a little bit today, but I have skipped to the fourth portion of our series in the book of Hebrews. Faith, footprints in the sands of time. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is substance. And the word there, as we've indicated, is something that stands under, that holds up. Faith is the foundation, the cornerstone, as it were, of hope. And without hope, and you go through the Word of God and look for the Word of hope, and it is amazing what the word hope encourages us along the way with. Faith is the foundation of our hope. Faith is a requirement of our salvation. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith is the means of our salvation. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is the evidence of our relationship. Hebrews 11:38, faith is the anchor of our hope. Hebrews 6:19, faith is strength, or is strengthened by trust in Proverbs 13 and verse 15. And faith is matured by trial. Faith is originated in the Old Testament. And we indicated in previous times how Adam and Eve and different ones down through the ages have trusted their lives to believe God by faith. Faith is, if you want to go by your outline, first of all, faith is the promise of God. God is faithful. Have you ever encountered somebody in your Christian experience who promised to do this and failed? People fail. I fail. You fail. But God does not fail. God is faithful and will glorify Himself in our faith. Chapter 11 has, and I think we're getting an outline for today, or a scratch sheet for you to use. Chapter 11 is divided up into three different sections. First of all, verses 1 through 3, which we have read, deals with the excellence of faith. And there are four facts that are evidenced there. Verses 1 through 3, the excellence of faith, four facts. Faith gives reality to hope. Faith gives reality to hope. Number 2, faith furnishes proof of spiritual things undiscovered by natural senses. And number 3, faith has secured Old Testament saints a good report. Number 4, faith enables possessors to understand that which is incomprehensible to the mere human understanding. Examples of faith. In chapter 11, as you read through the book, the chapter 11, there are 19 individuals that are mentioned by name, but there are multitudes of others that are mentioned without name. Okay, faith on your, find the right one, on your outline for today, faith is the promise of God, but faith is for real. I can trust people. I can trust the bank. I can trust the government. That's getting a little bit scary. But faith is for real. Faith in the Word of God is demonstrated in chapter 11 by a multitude of believers who trusted in the promises of the Word of God. Number 1, in chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews, faith is for real. Number 1 is demonstrated by Abel in the Old Testament. He worshiped by faith. Now, this is a concept. Keep in mind that in the Old Testament, in the beginning, God, Adam and Eve were created, and they had fellowship, and they walked and talked with God. They were friends of God, as it were. And then sin entered. And because of that sin, they were separated from God, as we are today, because of sin. Cain and Abel had never worshiped God. But Abel brought a better sacrifice. Now, scholars say that there is internal evidence to indicate that very possibly Cain and Abel were instructed. Now, if I think it's chapter 3 and verse 21 of the book of Genesis, it says that after sin entered, Adam and Eve were clothed with fig leaves, and God slew an animal to provide skin for them to cover themselves with. The first sacrifice. Adam and Eve, I don't want to offend anybody, but I think Adam and Eve walked uprightly. They did not develop from a little toad in a pond somewhere in the past. If there was a big bang, God said it, let it be, and bang, it was there. But Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, walked upright. They knew the right way to God. They knew it was an animal sacrifice. And the right sacrifice was made by Abel. Cain Well, first of all, Abel, or Cain, rather. Cain and Abel had a place of worship, an altar. There was a time of worship. It says in the book of Genesis, in the course of time, and there was a way of worship. Faith comes by hearing. God somehow had instructed the family what was required. Abel's faith led to three things: true sacrifice, true righteousness, and a living witness. Because he believed, because Cain believed, he offered a better sacrifice. Because he offered a better sacrifice, he obtained righteousness. Because he obtained righteousness, he became a witness for all ages. Cain and Abel were types of society today. One man worships God rightly through the sacrifice of the cross of Calvary. Others bring the fruit of their labor. You talk to people about their relationship with God. Well, I belong to such and such a church. But do you have a personal relationship with God? No. Well, I've been baptized. I remember an individual just recently. I'm resident Garden Terrace, senior living. And he called the office and said, I'd like to talk to the chaplain. I went and visited him. And he said, I've been a believer for years, but I've never been baptized, and I want to go to heaven, so I need to be baptized. Well, I talked to him a little bit and explained to him that you don't have to be baptized. It's a matter of obedience. Well, anyway, he thought about it for a while, and I said, after I went back, I said, really, from a practical standpoint, he's housebound. He's in a bed all of the time. And he said, well, we can baptize me by sprinkling. I said, well, I can't do that because that's not scriptural. So I said, well, we can baptize me in the bathtub. And this guy's an invalid, and I'm a borderline invalid, and he wants to be baptized in the bathtub. And I told him, I said, Joe, if I get you down in the water, it's going to be an active miracle. But when I bury you in the water, I don't know if I can bring you back up. To get you into the bathtub, I'm going to have to break your legs to fit. And then after I get you down, I may not bring you back up. But anyway, we talked a while, and he finally said, well, you know, I think what you say about Scripture is right, that you don't have to be baptized. It's a matter of obedience. But Cain and Abel were types of society today. The second man mentioned in Hebrews 11, in verse 5 is Enoch. And you go down through these individuals, and they walked by faith. Enoch walked by faith, and he, if you go by types, you know there are types in the Old Testament of things that are going to take place in the future. And Enoch walked in faith. Cain worshipped by faith. Enoch walked in faith. And he is a picture, a type of translated saints. Five features of Enoch's life that please God. First of all, and this applies to all of us here today. First of all, when we get to a place where we realize that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we have to come to the place where we realize that if we're going to be saved, first of all, we have to get lost. And we're all lost. We just have to realize it. But people need to realize that God is. There was a day, and I had read the Bible, I had been to church and different things, but there was a day when the pastor opened the Word of God and the Spirit of God opened my heart to the truth of the Word of God, and I realized that God is, that there is a God, and that God loves me. First of all, he believed that God is. Secondly, he sought God's reward. Thirdly, he walked with God. Fourthly, he preached for God. And fifthly, he entered into God's presence. I used to love to walk. I'd go down on the river trail and walk. I'm not able to do that as much as I would like to anymore. But imagine Enoch walked with God. For 300 years, he walked with God. Now, you think 100 years is tough. Try 300. And he walked with God. He was faithful. He believed God. And one day he went for a walk, maybe down by the river trail, and he walked, right into the presence of God. He walked into the presence of the God whom he had worshipped and served for 300 years. The first step of faith is believing that God is. He's not the man upstairs. I get tired of people referring to the old guy upstairs and the man above and so on. God is real. God is a person. God loves us with an everlasting love. Number one, Enoch sought God's reward. Number two, Enoch walked with God. Believing that God existed was the first step of faith. Believing that he rewards those who trust him is the first step of faith. Trusting fully in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is only the beginning of a faithful walk with God. I'm skipping hurriedly. Enoch entered into God's presence. One day he went for a walk and didn't return. He walked into the presence of God. The third man that is mentioned in Hebrews is the man Noah. Cain worshipped by faith. Enoch walked by faith. And Noah worked by faith. Now let me say first off, and with a lot of emphasis, Noah worked. He built an ark because God told him to, but building that ark, the work that he did was not his means of salvation. He trusted God. He believed God and he obeyed God. Noah is a type, if you go back to types, Noah is a type of God's protection for the Old Testament saints or Old Testament Israel during the time of divine judgment. Okay, I didn't give you all of the points on this former sheet, but if you have the new sheet, I want to spend the remainder of my time there. Hebrews 11 contains 19 individual names, a multitude of others, all by faith looked for a city. And I'd like to, if you're in the book of Hebrews, turn to the 11th chapter and the last portion of that chapter. Now you go down through, and a lot of these, you think you got troubles. Read what these people went through because of their faith in Christ. But you get down to the last portion, and in verse 38, of whom the world is not worthy, they wandered in deserts, in the mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. If they were faithful for God, why didn't they receive the promise? If you walk today, someday will you receive the promise? Well, they lived in tents. They lived in vessels of clay. They lived in sinful bodies. And I don't get my rewards here. It's a reward for me to be able to worship together with other believers. But it's going to be a greater reward when we stand, or bow rather, in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Our reward is in heaven. We joke when we get to these senior years about the golden years. Someone said the gold is tarnished. Well, that's probably true. The gold is fool's gold, and that's probably true. But the real gold for the child of God, for the saint, for those that believe, the real gold is in heaven when we receive our reward because we walked in obedience to him. Okay, now we get to the sheet today. The future, or faith, is the future of believers. Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'd like to read verses 13 through 18, the rest of the chapter. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that had died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have hope even beyond the grave. In verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you have hope today because of your relationship with Jesus Christ? You have hope because of the promises of the Word of God. Faith is the future for believers. Number one under that outline, I don't know if it's on your sheet, but number one under that outline, faith is the future of believers, is faith provides. When I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God provided for me. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God provides. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Faith provides salvation. Turn, if you would, to the book of Romans. We're going to do a number of different passages today. Romans chapter 4. Faith provides salvation, but faith also provides strength. When we get older, it's a little bit more difficult to get things done because we run out of strength. I have a back problem. The doctor has done two surgeries, and I went into him and said, I've still got problems. He says, well, I'm not going to do a third surgery. It probably will create more problems. So he said, just live with it. So we live with these old broken bodies, but you're one day going to receive a new body because of your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Romans 4 in verse 8, faith provides not only salvation, but provides strength. In chapter 4 and verse 8, well, it works better if I try chapter 4 instead of chapter 5. Okay, chapter 4 and verse 8. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's not what I want. But God provides strength for us in our walk with the Lord. And I won't have you turn to the book of Daniel. But also God provides not only salvation and strength, but he provides stability. I love the third chapter of the book of Daniel and the three Hebrew children, who we talked about last time that I was here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No, heart, shaft, or marks. No. The three Hebrew children had faith. They said, if God wants us to survive, he will provide for us. God will give us the strength. But regardless of whether you put us in a furnace or not, we're still going to serve God. We're still going to obey God. Faith provides salvation, strength, and stability. And number two, faith promises. Did God promise you anything when you trusted Him as Savior? He promised you salvation. Do you get anything else in the package? I think God promises blessing. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you go down through the psalm and we see that the psalmist is provided for by the Lord. And God provides for us in our walk. God promises blessing. James 1 and verse 5. We're going to touch on a number of different scriptures and faith promises blessing. And James 1 and verse 5, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. God provides or promises blessing. God promises benefit. I won't have you turn there. Probably you remember or know Ephesians chapter 6, where the armament is provided for the child of God. When I was saved, when you were saved, the day, and I don't know where you were saved, maybe in a bedroom, kneeling beside a bed, maybe in a church, maybe in a workplace, maybe you walk down the aisle in the church, maybe you're not with your mother beside the bed, and you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. When you were saved, you're saved today. Do you have a free ticket? Well, not even a free ticket. Do you have a ticket to heaven without conflict? Do you have conflict in your life today? Any volunteers? We live because we have sinful bodies, bodies that are first of all tempted by Satan. I recall when I first became a believer, I had a few habits that were not godly, and I would go through life and Satan would say, well, you can go ahead and do this. Nobody's going to know. You're all alone. There's no church people here. Go ahead and do it. No. God says I can't. Does the world ever tempt the believer? My neighbors have got a new car. They've got a nice house. They've got this and they've got that, but I don't have that. Well, the possessions of this world are going to pass away. And also, faith promises blessing. Faith promises benefit. And faith promises bounty. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and opened the mouths of lions. Faith promises blessing, benefit, and bounty. And finally, faith produces faithfulness. Turn, if you would, back in the Old Testament to the book of Isaiah. In verse 26. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 33. Oh boy. I've got a lot of wrong references. Anyway, God is faithful. God produces faithfulness. God only not only produces faithfulness, he provides or produces fruitfulness. We talked in Sunday school this morning about God using individuals. We are in the world to represent Christ and to point others to the cross of Calvary. I remember different individuals before I became a believer, and I thought, man, and most of those people are in heaven now. I thought, man, that guy's different. There's something different about him. There's something different about his life. Do people say about you, boy, that guy's different. He doesn't do this, and he does this. This guy's different because he's a child of God. I'm a representative of God in this world. God produces faithfulness, and God produces fruitfulness, and God produces fidelity. I trust that one day, when I stand before the King of Glory, he will say to me, he will say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I can't do much, but I can do what God enables me to do. You can't do much, but you can do what God enables you to do. Finally, this morning, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And people today in the world are trying to find some way to escape. And I read an illustration about this lady. She wasn't a nice lady. She was unfaithful to her husband. She abused her kids. She did different things that were ungodly. And one day, through a discussion that became heated with her husband, she killed him. So she went on trial for murder. And she's a picture of a sinner. She went on trial for murder. She stood before the judge and was convicted and sentenced to life in prison. She went to prison, and as they transported her to prison, as she drove into the prison, through the big gates, she saw a little door over on the side. And she saw this old man wheel out a coffin for the cemetery. So she thought, ah, I can find a way of escape. I've got a plan. So she became friends with this old man. And she said, well, if you'll help me, I'll give you thus and so. And she devised a plan with the man. When a death occurred, a bell would ring, and this man would go to the room, get a coffin, and go and pick up the person that had passed. Well, they tried this a couple of times, and then finally she said, I think this is the time. So when the bell rang, she went down to the room where he was preparing the person for their disposal. And this gets kind of delicate, I guess. Anyway, she thought, well, I'm going to escape. And she had devised a plan with the old man. She got into the coffin with the corpse. He put the lid on, took her out, and dropped her into the ground. And she could hear the dirt hitting the top of the coffin and so on. And she thought, well, I'll wait a little bit until this old man takes me up and lets me loose. I'm going to escape. Well, she was in there. I don't know how long you survive. I've never had to live in a box underground. But anyway, she lived for a period of time, and she said, boy, things are getting kind of close here, and it's getting kind of hard to breathe. And where's this old man? He's going to help me with my plan to escape. And she reached around. Finally, she found in her pocket a match. And she struck the match, looked around, and looked at the body that was with her. It was the old man. Uh-oh. You can't escape. There's no plan that man can make. The only escape is through the cross of Calvary. The only escape for the child or for the sinner today is through accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. I don't know some of you, but I trust that all of you here today have heard the Word of God, you've responded in faith to the Word of God, and that you're a child of God. There are three pastors here today that would be glad to, I think three, that would be glad to talk to you about the Word of God and how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I look back. I don't have great faith. My faith has increased over the years. But I look back to one of the products, the footprints of faith in the sands of time in the Wenatchee Valley. When the pastor gave the invitation, I knew what I had to do. We had wooden pews. And I was sitting in the back row. I sat back there with the young people. And he sang, or the congregation sang the song, Just As I Am. And I thought, well, okay, that's only got, I looked at the book, and I think there's four or five stanzas. But I swear that he must have sang 25 stanzas. And I was back there, man, I was holding on. I would like to find those pews. I think they've been destroyed since. But I could probably find handprints where I held on. And God said, okay, come on. And this old sinner, nah, I ain't going up there for all those people. Okay, second stanza. Jesus said, it's time, you need to go. And I said, nope, ain't doing it. And after about 25 stanzas, basically, back then, I was pretty bashful. After about 25 stanzas, I went forward. And I got there, and I turned around and walked into a new life. And I trust that's true of you today as an individual, that there was a point in time when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's the only way to go to heaven. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Shall we bow together in a word of prayer? Father, I marvel today at the wonder of your grace. And I'm thankful, Father, today that we can love you because you first loved us with an everlasting love. You gave more than we could ever give. You gave your Son. And we're thankful, Father, today. In faith we can trust you. In faith we can walk with you. And in faith one day we will be in your presence. But until that day, Father, keep us faithful, obedient to you. Give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Again, thank you for the opportunity of being here. And I trust, I will pray as you get your interim and then as you eventually get a new pastor.